What's up? This is Matt from Live from the Middle Urinal, and you're listening to the BS Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 38 for Monday, October 23rd, 2017.
So this week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about how Robert and I are really ready for the weekend. Also, as always, the beer we're drinking.
We got a list of the 33 ways that guys aren't always wrong. And of course, a crazy news story.
How's your day going?
I'm ready for the weekend.
I'm ready for the weekend too. Luckily, I have a half day of work tomorrow, and then I have to take the fam up to the spot where my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law to Bree. That was a slip of the tongue because she's marrying Bree. So they're getting married on Friday. So I have a half day tomorrow of work going in, finishing some things up. We have rehearsal tomorrow night, and then Friday is the wedding. So I have a nice long weekend, which I really need because today has been rough. It's 8:22 p.m. Eastern. I haven't eaten since some sushi that I ate at 11:30 today. And so if I pass out at all, just text Kelly, let her know to come, you know, stick some food in my mouth just to wake me back up. Maybe splash some water on my face.
The good news is it was good sushi, because otherwise you would not be here. You'd probably be somewhere throwing up or in the emergency room or who knows where.
It was properly cooked. I wouldn't say it was good. I have never gone to this particular place, but somebody else was paying, so you know how I roll with that.
Congratulations to Bree, and what's her fiance's name?
Eric.
Oh, very good.
Eric's an attorney.
Oh, he just I saw that. Yeah. He just got a new gig.
Yeah, he's starting off on his own. So if you need legal advice in the Southeast Michigan area, let me know and I'll forward the information.
What made him choose a Friday wedding?
Money, probably.
Yeah.
Kelly and I, we got married on a Friday too. And it just turned out when we priced it all out, Friday weddings are so much cheaper because, I mean, everything's cheaper. Everything from the food to the transportation to the DJs to the hall. Everything is just way cheaper on a Friday.
I never know anybody to do it that way, but I guess it makes sense. If there's a lot less money involved, you can do a little bit more or spend that money on your honeymoon or save it for a house or whatever else.
I'm going to get married on a Thursday afternoon if I ever do again.
Just a random weekday.
What if I get married on, like, on Christmas if I get a discount?
Probably.
By the way, so I keep saying that, and Kelly, the look of anger in her face every time I see it, it's priceless. I wish I could just snap a mental picture and print it out and show it to everybody, the look I get, as and followed by the comment that I get every time I say probably to her. She's just so disappointed every time I say it.
Well, you've used it a couple times, I know, when we've been texting, and I've always laughed at it because I know it kind of stemmed from the discussion that we had a few weeks ago about things that people say incorrectly, and you and I are pretty sticklers for that. So every time you've used it, I just always laugh at it because I just remember the discussion. So I was curious to see if you're using it to anybody else, and I guess you are.
I've added it to my everyday vernacular, so I'm using it quite a bit.
Well, you got a new phrase today, didn't you? What was it? Keep your tits in a row, or keep your tits in a wad, or what was it?
Wait. Hold on. I got to...
Calm your tits.
Calm... That was it.
Calm, I was all tits. Bent out of shape about something. And
well, so... Who knows? So, well, this
I thing, get worked up.
I giffied or jiffied, whatever it's called. I went and searched for calm down, and one of the first things that pops up is calm your tits, and I'm like, that's hilarious. So, calm your tits, Robert.
I don't know. I was upset at something, probably about your do not disturb while driving. That, you know, I know when people are ignoring me. I don't like to be specifically told that they're ignoring me.
Yeah, but my concern is if I have it not tell you that I'm on do not disturbed, that you know, that you'll think that I've gotten a message. And not just, I mean, honestly, more specifically, like Kelly, that she thinks I've gotten this message. Maybe it's kind of important. Maybe it's something that I need to know right away. Like, pick some shit up on your way home from work. And she has no idea that I haven't gotten the message. So I put that on there. I mean, you know, you could always break through it. I think you just reply urgent and it'll send me the message.
It's never urgent.
I'm going to start doing that every time I get that message. I'm just going to put urgent, just break right through that.
I do some of my best texting while driving. I don't have it turned on. So you can't use it for me.
Shooting the gap, sending texts.
Now, usually, I mean, in traffic, I usually have it mounted up there on the dashboard. I don't hit the microphone. I don't really touch anything. So I'm just talking to it.
I use Siri a lot. Siri's my friend.
Yeah, she's good.
She's a bitch, though. She usually doesn't understand what I'm saying.
I think we'll get to that a little bit later. Probably not listening.
Probably. All right, let's drink some beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I like that pouring sound.
That's nice.
I don't know if it really is beer, though. It's kind of, it's got a little bit more of a pop sound, as you like to say.
It does sound like pop. More Pepsi, though, than Coke.
It is a little bit of a sweeter pour. Kind of hear it in the bubbles. Although with all those bubbles, it probably is Coke or Diet Coke because those tend to be a little bit more fizzy.
Yeah, and it's, you can hear the sound is kind of tingy, like it's being poured in a trailer.
Oh, so it is Pepsi.
I did that just for you.
What do you got?
All right. So what I have this week is the culmination of the six pack that I built, I don't know, a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. It was one of those where my day took me where it did. There was just no stopping anywhere on the way home. And I knew I had this as my backup. So, you know, we're going to try it out. It is from Arbor Brewing Company. It's Espresso Love. It is a stout brewed with coffee. It's 6.7% alcohol by volume, 15 IBUs. It's a full body stout. It's seasonally available. It's available in March and January while supplies last. Oatmeal,
so fresh.
And yeah, the description here on the website says, you know, it's been, I left it sitting in the sun just to keep it fresh. It says oatmeal and 20 pounds of fresh roasted coffee from the Ugly Mug Cafe contribute to a mildly chalky espresso character balanced by a rich, sweet, creamy maltiness. Coffee finish dissolves into chocolate with a slight roasty bitterness. It's brewed with 100% fair trade coffee from the Ugly Mug Cafe and Roastery in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Pairs well with desserts, especially dark chocolate, raspberries, and good old cheesecake. It is available at ABC Brew Pub in Ann Arbor, Microbrewery Ypsilanti, and thank God it's available at the ABC India Pub. So if you're listening from India, you can get this seasonally while supplies last. So I've never had this beer before. I haven't even taken a sip. So this is truly a first impression. You hear it first on the Two Bobs, and here I go.
Let's go.
I like it. It's like a typical stout with a strong coffee flavor. So nothing special.
I was a little bit put off by the chalky it said in there. What was the description it said? A chalky?
I don't taste chalk.
That's good.
So, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, optimal that I don't taste chalk in my beer. I mean, honestly, it's a stout that it's a thick stout. So it's very smooth, definite, strong, kind of dark coffee presence, a little bit of chocolate in it. Nothing special. I don't love it, but I also don't hate it. On Untappd, I'm going to rate it like a 3.5, which means
that's pretty good.
If it's there, I'll get it. Yeah, if it's there, I'll get it. If it's not there, I'm not going to miss it.
Yeah, it's something you'd bring to a party because you know it's not going to offend people, but it's not going to be a new go-to.
No. I won't go out of my way to buy it, but it's good.
I'm going to continue with my pumpkin trend, and what I've got here is a Ballast Point Pumpkin Down Scottish Ale with pumpkin. And this is a little bit different because it's a Scottish ale.
Oh, can you say this whole thing and with a Scottish accent?
No, but you'll see here, as you see in the camera, it is a darker ale, and you can also tell that on the website.
Almost looks like a stout.
It is. It's really dark, but it says a pumpkin ale that bucks the trend. Some might think that we're out of our gourd for making a pumpkin ale, but our pumpkin down is not like the others. The caramel and toffee maltiness of our Piper Down Scottish Ale is the perfect backdrop for a boatload of roasted pumpkin. Just before bottling, we add a subtle amount of spice to complement, but not overwhelm the earthy flavor. It was a smash at the brewery, and we think you'll agree. And it's limited availability in 12-ounce bottles and draft, 5.8% alcohol by volume, 22 IBUs, and it pairs with jalapeno cornbread and truffle risotto with butternut squash.
Where did they come up with these pairings?
I don't know. Jalapeno cornbread would sound good because I haven't really had anything to eat.
Yeah, but who's like, you know what? I feel like this pairs well with cornbread. Yeah, but you know what? Probably with jalapenos in it, that's where it really just shines. You know, we'd...
Not regular and, cornbread.
You know, maybe get some truffle risotto with butternut squash as well, because it really goes well with the earthy flavor and the pumpkin.
And the sage gnocchi. I couldn't say it.
Sage,
so I didn't,
gnocchi?
No, gnocchi? Yeah, G-N-O-C-C-H-I.
Gnocchi.
But sage kind, not just the regular kind, but it's sage.
Yeah, you can't have regular gnocchi with this. That's just, I mean, you're asking for trouble. You got to get the sage variety of gnocchi, and then you'll be all right.
So the jalapeno gnocchi with the butternut squash?
If I had to write these, every single thing would pair well with pizza.
I'm just wondering if it goes well with Raisin Bran Crunch, because that's what I had about 45 minutes ago. But anyway, back to the beer. I like it a lot. It's definitely a stronger pumpkin taste than some of the others that I've had, but I do have to say that I taste the caramel and the toffee in there. It's different than the others, and I definitely put it up there in the higher. So it's going to creep into the level of a 4 range for me.
Oh, you like it.
Yeah.
You're a fan of the pumpkin ale, so like, have you ever had a pumpkin ale you didn't like?
Yeah, I had one a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, that's when we bombed.
Yeah, the 3. The one I had last week was probably my favorite, though, which was the Dogfish Head Pumpkin Ale. And then I also like the Pumpking, but something about that pumpkin ale from Dogfish Head was just really calling me. I think I've got 2 bottles left, so I do have one more Pumpking, so I'll probably get to those this weekend.
Nice, nice.
October's winding down, so I have to get through them before I change up to something. I've got a couple in the hopper for the next couple of weeks that don't involve pumpkin. We'll see.
I'm all out of fresh beer, so I need to go shopping next week.
Well, I went to see my friend Norm's here in Northern Virginia and got a couple options for the next few episodes, so I'm excited. I need to be careful, though, and make sure I don't touch them, because they're calling me.
Nice. Well, you know, the tempting part for me, and that's why I always feel, well, plus I'm a procrastinator, but I always feel like if I were to just go buy all this delicious beer anytime other than the day that we're recording, that I will drink all of them, or at least a healthy portion of them, and never actually use them on the podcast. So, you know, that's why I try to go the day of, and sometimes that doesn't even happen, like today. But speaking of beer, and speaking of that great music that we play when we're talking about our beers, we got an iTunes review, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And it's from Big Brother B. It said, "The two Bobs, it's all right in my book. Keep on trucking, guys, but maybe go to the doctors a bit more in the future." So I think that was a reference to the discussion that we had a couple weeks ago about the doctors. And he actually did hit us up on Twitter. And he did say he liked the music that we use behind the beer reviews.
I mean, it is nice. It's soothing.
It is soothing.
No?
Sometimes you really get in character when you read it, too. Almost like it's a really smooth kind of talk that you're talking about the beers. But no, I just plow on through it. I'll read it.
I like it to be intimate. It's an intimate conversation about the beer we're drinking.
Yeah, we're enjoying it. We're into it. We're not just drinking them to drink it, although, well, sometimes we are. It's been a few weeks since we've really just sat down here with the intention of going through a bunch of them and having a good time. But we've got one of those coming up, I think.
Nice.
Well, if you'd like to find out about the beers we're drinking, we are on Untappd, which is a social network for beer drinkers, and I can be found at RobertK328.
You can find me at PhilRoberts33. And as always, send in beer recommendations. We'd love to hear what you're drinking. Hopefully we can find some of those recommendations to have in the show.
Well, and as luck would have it, I did find one of the recommendations, so that'll be coming up in a future episode. What do we got today?
All right. Well, we have random shit to talk about, Robert, as always.
As always.
Yeah, we don't want to disappoint our listeners by not just talking about all the stupid shit that really doesn't impact our lives so much, but is just fun to talk about. I feel like our podcast is an escape from all the shit that's happening in the world. And while we often reference it, Donald Trump, we still like to keep it light, keep it fun. And so if you ask Kelly, who's usually right when we argue or even just have a healthy discussion about something, 99.999% of the time she'll say obviously that it was her. And I think that's the general consensus around the world is that women are always right. And I'd venture to guess that maybe that's not the case, but maybe as husbands, we just know better than to take an argument past a particular time. And so I think we concede a lot. How about you?
Yes, I think that's probably right. And there's also a phrase that says, choose your battles. So sometimes in the grand scheme of things, you got to kind of weigh being right or proving that you're right or really almost sometimes making things worse by continuing to push that. And sometimes it's better just to say, yep, you're right. Suck it up a little bit and have a little bit of pride for both of you and save both of your sanities by just agreeing.
I mean, now, obviously, we're not talking about our own relationships.
No,
we're just talking about what we've heard from other people. We're right. asking for a friend, basically. Right. One thing I can say is when I think I'm right, but I'm just going to end the argument by conceding it, the problem is, though, Kelly sees right through it because I'll be just like, yep, you're right, babe. No problem. Yep. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We're done. Anyway, this leads me to this Diply article that I posted here, and it's 33 times men weren't actually quite wrong. The article says that rarities in nature give us something to marvel at. Blue moons occur when a given month has more than one full moon. Halley's Comet is visible every 75 years. And maybe once in your entire lifetime, you will witness a man being right. So this goes over 33 of those times when maybe a man was right. Or even if he wasn't, he made his point. And I think it only deserves us talking about it.
Well, yeah, and I was curious to see also who the author of this was and who actually put these together, and it is from an Amy, so it is from a woman's perspective. And actually, she did say that, oh, stop, I'm kidding, but seriously, sometimes getting it right isn't always a woman's version of right. So like you said, even though when it's right, it's not always there. It's just it's not always good enough, or it's not always the way that they wanted it, but sometimes it's enough.
And I haven't seen all these, by the way. In usual fashion, I looked at some. Didn't look at all of them, though. So, per usual, do you want to take the odds?
I will. Well, the first one says,
assign okay, numbers. You like to assign numbers. So
I gotta keep order. Okay, busted is number one. And it says, tonight I'm making what my girlfriend has always said she wanted for dinner. And then there's a picture of a pan on the stove with a little card in it that says, I don't care.
Oh, my God. This is my life just playing out in front of me already. So, Kelly is the master of... What do you want for dinner? I don't care. Whatever you want. Or that's what she usually said is whatever you want. But then 90% of the time, yeah, I mean, it's usually, okay, pizza. Where do you want pizza
from? Or tacos.
But then it's, where do you want pizza from? Oh, I don't care. But the problem is she'll say she doesn't care, but then I'll say, okay, no problem. I'm ordering from this place. And she'll say, oh, I don't want that. So then it's just me guessing what she really wants. So I've started to just kind of say, listen, we're not eating then. You let me know what you want, we'll order that, because I'm a much less picky of an eater than she is. So I can find something I like at pretty much every restaurant out there, where she's more picky. I'm just like, you just tell me what you want. So that's the definition of my of us deciding what we're going to eat on any given day.
That's not too far from what we do here as well. I'll eat whatever. So if other people are in the mood for something, that's fine. I'm not. I mean, I think in 99% of the time, I'm never going to go, ooh, that doesn't sound good. I don't want that. You know, I'm happy to be able to have food. I'm happy to eat whatever is there. So it's not that big of a deal to me. So whatever you guys want to figure out, that's fine.
All right. Number two here, it says, yes, he did. And what he's basically done is he's unclogged the shower drain, and he's taken the hair that has come out of the drain and fashioned it to say, I unclogged drain on the shower wall. Have you ever unclogged a drain and just seen the swamp monsters that come out of those things?
Well, thankfully, no. But I have seen some videos on YouTube with people doing that where they've just kind of reached in with those little claws and pulled all the hair out and pretty much retched right there.
I have basically the shower. I have basically like a miniature like drain snake. It's like this long.
Yeah.
And I'll put that down. I can always tell when there's a little bit of a clog in the drain because I put that down there and just twist it around a few times and just pull these things. I don't even like to talk about it.
No.
It's disturbing.
Number three, who needs a fancy handle? What are you, the queen? And the caption on the photo says, my wife asked me to fix the toilet. So he did by snaking a zip tie through the hole and attaching it to a roll of tape.
I mean, it works.
Rather than having a handle, you gotta just yank on the roll of tape and pull it by the zip tie.
That's nice, though.
It's pretty ingenious.
I think, I'd venture to say that that's fancier and more efficient than having to turn a handle. Just pull it like you're in a semi truck and you just need to beep the horn. You just pull on it. It's nice. I like it. So number four here, whoever did this is just sick. So it says if you, and I think this could go either way here because it's just, this is just insane. If you have OCD, this man is your worst nightmare. And what it is it's brownies, which appear to be fudgy brownies and with frosting on it. And instead of like, you know, because you cut it into squares and you start from the corner and work your way in, right? You start at one side. This person has started in the middle of the cake, but off to the side a little bit and cut a square at a diagonal. So it's like a diamond right in the middle of the tray of brownies. And I just don't even know what to say about that.
Well, I think this is going to be an image that I'll use in the art this week, but I'm just looking at what either the cake or the brownie, and I just want to eat it.
I mean, I want to eat it, but it also disturbs me that somebody would do that to the tray of brownies. Cakey or fudgy, you shouldn't cut brownies like that.
No, what a jerk. Number five, literally followed instructions. My friend asked her husband to wrap at least one shirt. This is what she got. And it's a shirt on a hanger, and he didn't fold it. It just basically has the wrapping paper in the shape of the shirt. The little hanger sticking out of the top.
Where's the number five? Damn it.
Gotta hit next page. Hold on. I can't find it. Have you never used the interweb before?
But I have number four. Oh, next page. Okay. I
got this. God damn it, Rob.
What?
It's my turn to say it this time. Okay. Usually it's the damn it, Roberts. This time it's the damn it, Rob.
Damn it, Robert. Okay. That's funny. Number six, the lawn is cut, and it says the boss's wife asked him to mow the lawn, and what he did was he mowed the lawn, but he left a big section in the shape of Batman in the middle of the yard.
That looks cool.
I think that's awesome. This guy, I mean, it sounds like he doesn't always mow the yard, but when he does, he's got some skills. That's tough to do, and it's very symmetrical. I'm impressed.
He did a nice job.
Yeah,
I guess he would have had to go up. Looks like it's taken from a bedroom window, so looks like he probably had to go up there a few times to check his handiwork.
A for effort.
Love it. Number seven, this took a minute. This says, saw this car filling up at a gas station in Illinois and did a double take. The top tires spin too. So it's kind of a tough one to describe, but it's basically a pickup truck that's upside down. But the frame of it is basically fitted to the underside of the car rather than the top. So it looks like the truck is actually upside down, but it's not.
That's hilarious. And it's like a convertible car that looks like an upside down truck.
Yeah, like they just basically took the frame of the truck and everything that was there, but then took the wrapper of it, which is what you see on the outside, flipped it upside down and mounted it to the bottom of the vehicle rather than up at the top.
That's awesome, but I just have to ask, like, who has time to do that? Like that, there's a lot of ingenuity that went into that.
Yeah, and what's the resale value of something like that? Do you have to put it back? Is that a lease? Did you have to put it back the way you had it?
I won't even tint my windows on my car because I'm like, this lease is going to be over in 2 years and they're not going to want that tint on there. Like,
what a waste.
So this This looks like
I've seen this one before. This one's good.
It says he was told to buy 6 potatoes, and there are 5 large potatoes and 1 teeny tiny little potato.
It's like the pinky nail of potatoes. The other ones are big toes, and the other one's just even just the pinky nail. It's probably about the size of a peanut M&M.
I like it.
That's good. A lot of these are passive aggressive, by the way.
I like it. Well, I'm in that, you know, it's, it might be safe to argue that there's a lot of passive aggressive guys out there.
Well, that's the only way we can get
ahead. I don't know any of them, but
it's the only way we can get ahead sometimes. Number 9, when his ironing skills are stuck in 1987, it's this young lady here from WAVE News, and she's wearing her nice red polo, and then her, looks like her pants that she probably pulled right off the shelf at Target. But they're khakis, and they've got the really hard-pressed crease right down the center of the front of each leg, like they were brand new or that somebody starched them pretty heavily.
That's funny. Although that's I have true. Dress pants that are like that, but
I think these are probably new. That's probably what happened.
Probably.
She needed new pants, and she just grabbed them off of Target because they always have that hard crease in them.
Why do you think she would need new pants middle of the day like that?
Maybe
she wet herself.
Soiled something.
Oh, man. Number 10, when he wants to make sure you're regular. As his wife asked us for a smooth move tea to help with constipation. This is the same, right? And he bought Morning Thunder black tea with energizing healthy mate.
Contains caffeine.
So he thought that Morning Thunder was the same thing as smooth move to help with constipation.
It's the same. It'll keep her up. So she'll have the energy to sit there and push.
It's all in the words.
Number 11. Well, maybe if she wasn't so vague. Last night I asked my husband to put some spaghetti on the stove so I could start dinner when I got home. I came home to this. And it's an electric stove, and the whole top is that whole glass piece. And he's basically just taking a handful of the noodles and put them right down on top of the stove. No pot, no water, nothing. Just dry noodles sitting on top of the stove. So he did what she asked, put some spaghetti on the stove.
What's the problem here?
Well, she's got a problem with that. She's got another thing coming.
All right. That stuff is, that's like the whole wheat spaghetti, too. That has to boil for like an hour and a half to even resemble the consistency of regular spaghetti.
And just to stop smelling like socks.
Oh, my God. That stuff is nasty. There's just not enough spaghetti sauce in the world to make that taste good. All right, number 12. It says he was asked to hang some Christmas lights. And so he hung Christmas lights in a door wall and just right in the middle of the door wall and shape and hung them so that it spells dog on the door wall with an arrow pointing down, and he hung some ornaments from it, and there's a dog. You can tell that's like the dog spot to, there's like a dog bed right there, so that's where the dog hangs out. And there's just some in Christmas lights that says dog with an arrow pointing toward the dog. That's pretty clever.
I like it.
And then it says there's a tweet. Vicky says, I asked my husband to sort the Christmas lights in the window. This was not quite what I had in mind.
Oh, well, she's hard to please. Too much pun for one dog tag. And it says, Ozzy Pawsborn, the Prince of Barkness. That's pretty good.
Oh, man. That's good. I like it. So this, when I was reading through this, I did happen to notice this next one here. And I showed it to Kelly because I said, you know, this is exactly what she would do. I always give her a hard time because if she's leaving the house, like if she's leaving the house to go to the store, she usually leaves me to my own devices. But if she's leaving for any length of time, I get instructions, like ridiculously specific instructions from her on what to feed the kids, what to do with the kids. So I always kind of joke. I'm like, well, I'm not a babysitter. I'm their father. But this looks like something she would do. So the number 14 says she's been there, done that too many times and is not taking any chances. So, there's a bunch of food like pre-bagged snacks and Campbell's soup and fruit that's lined up on the counter. with notes that tell you exactly what day of the week. So these are like their snacks for every single day of the week and what, who it's for, when to give it to them, what they pair with. There's some tacos. There's like some taco shells, and there's a note on it says tacos and tortillas, and it shows her. It lists all the ingredients that go on the tacos. There's prepackaged like in containers that are labeled kielbasa, taco meat, chili, chowder. Kelly always gives me a hard time on this one. There's a note that says no lids for containers and microwaves. Because I tend to actually, she hates when I hang when I heat anything up in a plastic container, which I do all the time. But she yells at me every time, which she probably has a point. But we're not talking about that right now. And then the last one says, "Hon, don't forget the tuna in fridge, second shelf, a PS ice pack in freezer, and it's a pre-made lunch." So that's funny.
All this suggests that you've never done this before, and maybe. Maybe in this particular case, that's the truth, you know, where the wife has done everything and the husband's kind of come and gone and hasn't had to handle it. But I think a lot of times when you get these, and it's probably the same thing in your situation where you get these and it's stuff you've done before. So it's not like you said, it's not like you're a babysitter or somebody who's coming in with no idea about what your kids like or what they eat and what they don't like. So she's a little bit of a control freak, I think. She puts me to shame.
Yeah, Kelly likes to, and I wasn't sure if you were talking saying Kelly's a control freak, because
this woman here with these notes.
Obviously that's not true, right?
No,
not at all. But I mean, she always means well, and you know, I can give her shit here on the show because she's not down here to stop me, and it's my show and I do what I want. But I mean,
she's probably trying to help.
She's trying to help. She's trying to make sure. I mean, she recognizes the fact that all week long during the day, I'm not there. So she's usually dealing with all this shit. So, you know, I understand.
Number 15, she asked her husband to cut her sandwich in half. She just didn't say how. And basically he cut it out like a jigsaw puzzle. It is in half and the pieces fit.
That's true. I used to cut Kelly's sandwiches in like asymmetrical shapes and put it together like a puzzle.
I've never gone that far. I like the diagonal cut, the triangle. Sometimes little quarters are fun. I can pretend like I'm a kid sitting there at lunch. But
do you cut the crust off your sandwich?
No, you got to eat the crust. You probably do.
My grandma used to say the crust is the best part. I'm like, no, it's not. The fucking jelly and all the sugar and fat is the best part. What are you, crazy? My grandma.
All right, let's hear. Let's discuss this so I can tell you if you're wrong or not. When you have your peanut butter and jelly... You love these conversations. When you have your peanut butter and jelly sandwich, so you have the crust on there, right? You don't take that off.
No. Now, not when I'm eating it.
Okay. Now, but you actually eat the crust. You don't just eat around it.
Correct.
Correct. So are you more peanut butter or more jelly?
More jelly.
That's good. But you're a grape jelly fan too, though, right?
I like all the jellies. My favorite jelly would probably have to be raspberry, only because... Kelly's aunt makes this like homemade raspberry preserves every year. She passes it out at the holiday family reunion and everybody gets a jar of it. And I always make sure I get the raspberry because it's just so damn good. So I'm kind of biased because like that's my jam right there. No pun intended.
I like the strawberry. Yeah, definitely more jelly too. Than the peanut butter.
I mean, I'll take grape. Like, grape's like the default jelly, you know, but I tend to like the more exotic flavors like your raspberries and your strawberries.
The grape jelly is the Pepsi of jellies. You got to go to the Coke and get the strawberry.
It's the Pepsi of jellies. Oh, fuck you. Okay, number 16. The ring is right. The note is devastating. So can you imagine being a woman and getting this? You open this beautiful box that is obviously a jewelry box. You're like, oh my god, this is happening. This is finally happening. And you open it up, there's a beautiful solitaire ring, and you're like, oh my god, finally, it's my time to be the bride and not the bridesmaid. And there's a note attached that says, not an engagement ring, I just thought you'd like it. So I had to build that one up because
that one's good.
I needed people to understand.
Number 17. What can I say? I got to hand it to the guy. The resemblance is uncanny. And this is a tweet from Tessa, and it says, thought I looked cute as hell today. And my boyfriend told me I look like Pinhead Larry, which I guess is our cartoon. And her top is the same color as Pinhead Larry, and she's wearing the choker. It does look exactly like his cartoon.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I tend to...
Do you know who that is, though? Pinhead Larry?
He looks like a penis.
Kinda. With teeth.
A malformed penis with teeth and a choker. I don't know. I have no idea. Is he from SpongeBob?
It looks like.
Looks like he's underwater.
Yeah, it looks like Patrick if he only had the head with no arms.
Well, I was going to say, does SpongeBob have a character called Pinhead Larry? Probably not, right? I hate that show, but I feel like they wouldn't have that character on there. Who knows? Let's move on. Number 18, pure evil is in the form of this man playing a very cruel prank on his girlfriend. It says, it's a tweet that says, I can never joke with my baby girl. And it's an iMessage. They're obviously both using iPhones because of the blue bubbles, so I like that already. He's having a conversation with his girlfriend, and it says, hey, I really want to talk to you. I've been thinking about things, and I finally made a decision, but it's the best for both of us. And then she responds, ... no, please don't. And then he responds that we shouldn't argue anymore. LMAO, gotcha, dumbass.
And so then, he's endearing himself.
And then she sends pictures to him of her crying, and she says, I was already crying. And then he responds, stop, babe, OMG.
He's going to get his ass kicked when he gets home.
That's a dick move. He's not getting laid for a month. It'll be like they're married.
That's above and beyond the two bows for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
it's probably close to the line that we would get to, but I don't think we'd go that far over.
Not with our wives, anyway.
No. No.
I don't know who else I would have that conversation with anyway.
We need them to leave notes for us so we know what the fuck to do. Number 19. That's true. Oh no, this BF just reached a whole new level of savage. So she says, hey, what are you doing? He says, texting the most beautiful girl in the world. She says, oh, how cute, with little heart emojis. Yes, but she's not replying, so I'm texting you.
That's funny.
That's funny.
All right, so this one says, listen, you just have to set your priorities straight, you know? I mean, change the cat to a dog, and that's basically me. Doesn't everybody else date someone for their dog? No, just me. Okay, then. And it says, the only thing that matters, and it's a guy who is having a warm, embraceful hug with his girlfriend, and she's hugging him, and he's kind of hugging her, but in his left hand, he's sitting there petting his cat. Like, it looks like they're at a pet store or something like that, or a kennel or something like that, and he's just petting the shit out of his cat while his girlfriend is hugging her. Because that's more important to him.
Number 21, the look on her face is priceless. It really says it all. A picture's worth 1,000 words, after all. It says, is she having the best Christmas or the best birthday ever? I guess we'll never know. It says, because she's a keeper on the Snapchat, and she looks like she's got goalie gloves.
Yeah, but if you look,
there's something.
There's like a gift bag. So I think the joke is that there's a gift bag that looks like it's from a jewelry store or a high-end place, and there's like gloves inside of gloves. That.
Oh, so it's a lot like the ring where he kind of tricked her.
Yeah. Tricking her significant others is a lot of fun.
I don't recommend it.
At least a couple times a month, I'll hide behind a door, and when Kelly walks by, I'll jump out and scare the shit out of her just for fun. I have a couple on video. I won't post it because I wouldn't do that to her, but it is a lot of fun. Number 22, you can't fault him because he's technically not wrong. Although, what's up with guys who can't take the time to just replace the empty toilet paper roll? It ain't hard, guys. And he writes with a Sharpie, it's not empty, on the toilet paper roll, the bare toilet paper roll, which has just the tiniest little like sliver of toilet paper that's been glued to it.
Too funny. I think living with a teenager, it's a lot like that here. I had a milk carton in there last night that I went to go get some milk this morning, and there was just enough to barely wet the cereal this morning.
Oh, man.
That I know was just left there because it wasn't empty.
I'm not going to lie, though. I tend to be the one, like, if I, maybe it's the way elderly listener and my father brought me up, but if I was always taught, if you use the last of something, refill it. If you, you know, so like when the Keurig is empty and it's flashing because there's no more water, I refill the water. If there's, if I use the rest of the toilet paper, I refill the toilet paper. There may or may not be some inconsistency on the other side of the household when it comes to that kind of stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I'm forever dumping out things. If there's just a little bit left in there that's not really enough for the next thing, I just dump it out and then take whatever the fresh one is. So the milk in that case, just dump the one out that's got the little tiny little bit of milk in it and put a new one in there. And
well,
bottles of water, bottles of Gatorade, there's always something in there that's got just a little bit left that somebody wasn't quite sure about dumping out because they didn't want to have to take the time to clean the container or put it in the recycle. So I get rid of that crap.
Well, I do have a tendency, though. I will say I do play the game a little bit. Like if I'm eating something, I know that like when she goes to eat it, if I know she's going to be pissed off because I ate the rest of it, I will eat just like a ridiculously small amount of it just so she can't say that I ate the rest of it. But then inevitably what will happen is she'll go to eat it and she'll be, and then the reaction is like, really? Like, seriously, you just left this much. Why couldn't you have just eaten the rest? And
you get a good chuckle out of it.
I do. I have to take my little victories and enjoyments where I can.
Number 23. Well, if you were starting to feel like someone's chauffeur, you'd say the same thing. It says, I need a ride, babe. I got to go pick my money up. And the response is, hold on, let me go out and look at my truck. Okay. And then she replies, okay. He says, you won't believe this. She says, what? And he says, I looked over on my truck and nowhere on it did it say taxi. Obviously not married as well.
Hmm. By the way, I'm about 3/4 of the way through a Right Brain Naughty Girl Stout. Which was featured on last week's episode. I like it. I've had a couple in between the recordings because it's a damn good beer.
I looked for that today and I couldn't find any. I looked for even something similar to it, but I got, well, by name, I got something similar to it. It doesn't have the same flavor to it, which is too bad because I really wanted something like that again, but that's also one of the beers that I've got for an upcoming episode. So I'm excited to try it.
Well, you got a bunch of tricks up your sleeve coming up here, Robert.
All kind of stuff. Oh, my friend Norm hooked me up today.
Good for Norm. Good for Norm. All right. The guy that is at my usual spot, I can't pronounce his name, did not hook me up. All right. But he makes excellent pizza.
Is that the pizza you have to get ready for it in the morning? Show up there at 9 o'clock and pre-order it.
No, that's Vito's Bakery. That's delicious. But no, this is a pizza joint party store, but their pizza is actually really good. We get it quite often at work, but also they have a lot of good beer. So number 24 here says he's just very opposed to taking tests, and I don't blame him. Didn't we leave behind dumb tests in high school? So the tweet says, I asked my boyfriend to rate a relationship on a scale of 1 to 7. He said 5. It would have been 6, but he deducted a point for me asking.
Yes.
I don't blame him. That's awesome.
Number 25. You know, not all heroes wear capes. You just have to respect those who are busy saving the universe in their spare time. And it's another text message exchange. And it says from her, it says, come kiss me. I look cute AF today. So cute as fuck. And he replies, but I'm playing DBZ, which is Dragon Ball Z. I just know that, but I have no idea what the game is. Man, she replies, rude.
I call it Dragon Balls. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
Perfect.
I interrupted.
That's rude. And he says, sorry, but I got to beat Frieza. And then she says, ugh. And he says, I have to save the universe.
First things first. Seems like he has priorities. He has his priorities in order.
My son and I like to play Splatoon a lot, which is a Switch game. And you've got a session that you have to get through, and it might be 2 minutes. I don't remember exactly the time, but Melissa called me the other day to come up and do something. But I was like 10, 15 seconds in. You can't turn it off.
No, you can't.
You gotta finish Splatooning.
Speaking of just shutting the game off, I remember, and I'm going to call Eric out, my soon-to-be brother-in-law, a little bit on this, but sitting in their den at, back then was my girlfriend's house, and he's playing some sort of game. I think it was Call of Duty, and I think he was playing multiplayer. But my father-in-law kept saying, Eric, stop playing your video game. We got to go. And he goes, hold on, Dad. I got to get to a pause station. And that's been a running joke. And the rare occasion I actually play video games today, these days, Kelly will say, you know, when are you going to be done? I'm like, as soon as I get to that pause station.
Well, it's true. You got all that progress. You can't give it up.
No, I didn't.
Shit's important.
The funny part was there was no pause station. Okay. Number 26. She gets this after telling him to buy some chocolate. The author says, seems like this husband is trying to one-up his wife in passive aggression. Never attempt this. It's always a losing battle. So it's a candy bar. It looks like a Snickers, only it says Hot Mess in the place of where it would say Snickers.
Yeah, I like those in there. They've got all these little messages on them, but I don't think I've ever seen the Hot Mess, but that's funny.
That is funny.
Number 27, she gets exactly what she asked him for. Husbands are really just simple beings. Sometimes wives really need to be more clear for them to actually listen and take instructions. She asked her husband for an 18-carat necklace, and he gave it to her. He took 18 carats, strung them together, and now she has an 18-carat necklace.
It's a necklace with 18 carats on it.
Yeah.
Done. Seems legit. Husband of the year, or boyfriend of the year, whatever it was. Number 28 says, some things really give you a perspective on your relationship. And the author says, at least she can check to see if her bun looks good, just the bun. So the caption on the image says, I asked my 6'3" husband to hang our bathroom mirror. And you can tell the wife is standing in front of the mirror, and it's so high that you can only see the very top of her hair. The very top of her forehead.
Yeah, perfect.
That probably works fine for me.
If you mix red and black, does it make it blue? I asked my husband to help pick up some raspberries and blueberries, and this is what he came back with. Raspberries and blackberries.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's fine.
Right. Number 30. It was actually a dinner roll is the title. And the image is it says, Dad, will you put my hair in a bun? And the image is a little girl who has her hair inside of what appears to be a dinner roll or some sort of bun. And so the bun is around her hair, and then there's like a hair tie around that. So her hair is in a bun. Literally.
Says, if mom isn't there to do a French braid, you'll just have to settle with a small baguette. Oh, that's good. Number 31 is, if you don't hear enough of their smart remarks in real life, when you see someone every day and know exactly how to push their buttons, how can you not? Says, I'm about to block my husband from Instagram, and it's a picture. It's a picture of a young lady. I'm not sure what nationality she is, but she's wearing the hijab, and she's got the scarf. And her husband's comment says, you look like your scarf is strangling you.
I love that. He just completely ignores the fact that she was saying she was about to block him from Instagram. And he just comes back with a witty remark. I like that guy.
He didn't care.
So this one, actually, it took me a minute to realize what happened here. But says, to be fair, he followed the list exactly. And the caption says, when you give your husband a grocery list and forget the dots. All right. So the list says one milk, two zucchinis, three butters, four something else, like looks like sour cream or like yogurts or something like that. Five peppers, and then six of something else. So she numbered the list saying these are the things you need to get. But what the husband did was actually buy that number of things. So he bought one thing of milk, two zucchinis, three butters, four things of yogurt, five they're tomatoes, I think. Five tomatoes, six eggs. Oh, there's a thing with the translation. Damn it. I didn't scroll far enough down where the black part with the white lettering was showing.
Fine. It's good, but in that case, it's almost like he's doing it on purpose. Because you got to know when you see the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the way down that she's just numbering
it. And they're like little, vine tomatoes, too. They're tiny little tomatoes. It's five of them. Who needs any more than that?
Well, number 33, which is the last one on the list, it says, clearly he has no idea what fish eat. It says, you can just feed the family pets life-size crackers of themselves. Shake my head. Imagine just eating a human-sized cracker of yourself.
I would do that.
He says, this is what happens when you ask your husband to pick up fish food. And, of course, it's a package of Pepperidge Farm Goldfish Cheddar Crackers. It says, what's the funniest way your spouse got it right?
Oh, that's funny. That's on our subscribe and save every month. Six gigantic things. We get like a ridiculous amount of goldfish here. We consume a large amount of goldfish in this house.
Well, they're good.
Yeah, funny stuff. Funny stuff.
Well, if you go back to episode 4, if you're new to the Two Bobs and haven't been with us that long and haven't gone back, we have episode 4, which is TTB004, Inconvenient Pooping, which is kind of a way we turn the tables on our wives and do the things that drives them crazy.
That was back like episode like 4 through like 10. I feel like we just talked a lot about pooping. So I know we've veered away from that. But if you're a fan of poop, I mean, listen to those episodes. They're great.
There was a little bit of pooping. The inconvenient pooping came from something that you did, which I didn't necessarily disagree with doing myself.
Yeah, we all do it. We all do it. Let's head on to some crazy news.
You hear that little humming in the background now, don't
Who's, you? Every time, I can't not hear the humming.
And it's not me. It's not you. It's not a ghost because it happens in the exact same spot every time.
So you think maybe the guy was just somehow keyed his mic when he was doing that? Or is it? Does he get his bit? The author of that song get as big of a laugh every time somebody plays it because it just
was proud of his music. Oh, that's or funny. She, I guess.
This week's crazy news story, believe it or not, involves food. According to USA Today, $1.2 million in stolen fajitas prompts employees arrest at a Texas juvenile center.
Prosecutors in Texas are charging a former juvenile detention center employee with stealing $1.2 million worth of fajitas over a 9-year period. Authorities told the Brownsville Herald that Gilberto Escaramilla was arrested after authorities searched his home and found packages of Tex-Mex in his refrigerator. Oh, investigators checked vendor invoices and determined that Escaramilla used taxpayer-funded food deliveries and sent them to his own customers. According to the Associated Press, the Tex-Mex food trafficking scheme came to light in August when he took off work and a delivery truck tried to drop off 800 pounds of fajitas. Officials said the juvenile department didn't serve fajitas. Escaramilla was arrested last week and is now facing felony theft charges.
They didn't even serve fajitas. How did he even procure fajitas? Food they don't even serve.
And the official spokesperson said, we don't serve fajitas. He had like a ring going where he was ordering the food to come to this detention center, knowing that it wasn't something that they served. He would take it home, package it himself, and then deliver it to people that ordered it. And at no expense to his own self, because it was taxpayer dollars. And he was able to make a killing on all it until he got found out.
I mean, how much fajitas do you have to steal and then resell to total $1,251,578. I mean, that's amazing. And, you know, I guess I can respect the guy could have trafficked drugs. He could have trafficked people. This fucker trafficked fajitas.
Well, the other thing is, too, is it was not only $1.2 million, but it was over 9 years. Who is there that's doing the balancing of these books to say this money is going out for food? Maybe unless they don't have it itemized in a way that can be tracked. But for 9 years, somebody, and maybe the person was in on it, but they basically overlooked this additional expense of $1.2 million that went to something that nobody ever bought.
That's amazing. I mean, and if you divide that over the 9 years, I mean, the guy made $133,000 a year trafficking fajitas.
He's going to be the coolest guy on cell block.
He was living large. I mean, let's be honest here. I don't think the guy is so much an idiot as he is a fucking genius. Why didn't Gilberto, I think of this?
Gilberto, what are you in for? Grand larceny. Well, shit, what did you steal? Fajitas.
I stole fajitas. I had them delivered to the juvenile center, and then I put them on the truck for 9 years. I drove them to my customers and then delivered them, and I made $133,000 a year from it. I mean, that's amazing.
Good for him. If it wasn't so serious, you'd think it was a Saturday Night Live skit. But this is the real thing. The kitchen staffer told her supervisor about the call when they tried to deliver the fajitas. And the missing piece fell into place. The department employee had taken that day off, and when he was confronted at work the next day, he confessed to stealing the fajitas for the past 9 years.
9 years.
Too funny.
Wow. That just shows you how slow the government is to react to shit, too. Like, nobody noticed that.
Well, and that's a small town, too, Brownsville. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's really that small, but I have a friend who grew up there. In Brownsville, it's like the very southern tip of Texas. So if you think of Texas almost as a triangle there, it's that bottom edge of McAllen and Brownsville. I think that's what those towns are that are down there, and it's not that big.
Amazing.
Too funny. But I guess they got all that oil money down there. $1.2 million is probably nothing.
Good for Gilberto. No, I mean, until he got caught, now he's in jail. But other than that,
that's a shitload of fajitas.
That's a shitload of that's fajitas as fuck.
Oh, a shitload of fajitas. TTB038, shitload of fajitas is in the books.
Well, it's got another week done, another episode in, another notch in the belt, Robert.
Yes, sir. Well, if you'd like to reach out to us, we do have a phone number.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
Elderly listener is correct. We do have a phone number, and that is 530-882-BOBS. Again, that's 530-882-2627, and you can call us or you can send us a text message. So as you're listening to this, we'd love to hear from you. Pick up your phone. There's a good chance you're listening to us right now on that phone. Type in that number, send us a message, tell us to fuck off for all I care. We want to hear from you.
And you can also find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Go to thetwobobs.com. All the things are on there. All the things.
All righty. We'll see you next week.
See you later.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewel Beat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.